Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mitch Evans Experience with you here for Friday morning. And we continue now with our 2013 NL East preview. The Braves, of course, will be opening up the campaign on Monday. They'll take on the Philadelphia Phillies, open up a three-game set. And, hey, perfect time to talk about the Phils, and we'll do so right now with Spike Eskin of CBSPhilly.com at Sports Radio 94 WIP. He's on the Wade4.com hotline with us. Spike, how are you doing?
I'm great. You?
I'm doing good. Ready for baseball. I'm sure you are.
Well, we've had three consecutive bad sports seasons with the Eagles and now the Flyers and the Sixers. So even though the outlook for the Phillies isn't as good as it's been in past years, I'll tell you what, it's better than what we've experienced over the last year or so. So I'll take it.
Let's start with Roy Halladay. He got hit pretty hard this spring. Velocity's been down from the low 90s to the high 80s. How concerned are manager Charlie Manuel and pitching coach Rich Dubien? How high is the level of panic in Philadelphia?
Honestly, I think anyone who doesn't have a very high level of panic is probably kidding themselves. There's a thought, you know, the people that aren't panicked is that the thought is because Roy Halladay is a smart pitcher and a student of the game and has always been very good that he'll be able to adjust to the velocity going down. But, you know, if it was just that easy, you know, smart pitchers would go until they're 50 years old. You know, at a certain point, you pitch 200 plus innings every year, and not just that, Roy Halladay in the off season and during the season just trains very, very hard, and you get to that mid 30 spot when you're a pitcher, and when your skills start to deteriorate, it's rare that they come back. So I don't think anyone was expecting him to be the Roy Halladay of 4 or 5 years ago this year. I think they were expecting sort of a, you know, maybe 75 or 80% of that, but To be honest, it doesn't look even close to that right now. So the level of concern is and should be, I think, very high.
We're talking about the Philadelphia Phillies, their preview for the upcoming 2013 season with Spike Eskin of CBSPhilly.com, also Sports Radio 94 WIP is with us here on the Wade4.com hotline. Spike, I think the names Halladay, Cole Hamels, Cliff Lee still inflict some fear into batting orders around the National League. Hamels had a very good spring, I know. What about Lee? I mean, he got victimized by a lack of run support all of last year. How was his spring? And I would imagine he's ready to go and hopefully getting some runs for him on the board.
Yeah, he had a pretty solid spring. And, you know, baseball is sort of a game of stats and a game of, you know, the more volume of stats, the better you understand. And when you look at Lee's season last year, every advanced number he has, or even, you know, less advanced, like strikeout rate and things like that, he was very good. The wins just took forever. You know, he just went weeks and weeks without getting a win, and he had some really horrible luck, you know, similar to the luck that Cole Hamels has had previous to Lee. I think Lee's going to have a great year. There wasn't anything wrong with the way he pitched last year. Some of the results weren't great, but he looked like the Cliff Lee that you usually see. He does get into some trouble because he throws a lot of strikes, and some would say too many strikes. He's really, really averse to walking guys, and that's when, if he's not perfect, you'll see a stretch of 4 or 5 games where he'll get hit pretty hard because he's around the strike zone all the time. But I think Lee is set to have a very good season.
Jonathan Papelbon had a good year, I think you could say, in his first campaign to Philly in 2012. 38 saves, ERA under 3, but he tossed 70 innings. So I imagine the move to bring in Mike Adams in the mix will lessen his load and maybe keep Papelbon exclusively to a ninth inning only guy.
Yeah, and you know, Charlie Manuel didn't want to put him in anything but a game where they were leading in the ninth inning last year, and it was just because the bullpen was, aside from Papelbon last year, was so bad that sometimes he had no choice. Mike Adams has looked healthy. You know, he's coming off that shoulder surgery, but, you know, when he's been good, he's been very, very, very good, and I think what they're hoping for is that if they can keep Papelbon to the ninth, keep Mike Adams to the eighth, then you sort of have a bunch of guys that can get you through the seventh if you need to, and that just sort of settles down the rest of the bullpen if your eighth and your ninth are taken care of this year, which it looks like they will be.
Let's turn our attention to the offense, and by the way, we're talking with Spike Eskin of CBSPhilly.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP on the Wade4.com hotline to talk about the Phillies. the two big guns, Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, again, injury prone for both. Howard started last year recovering from Achilles surgery, ended with a broken toe. Utley dealing for a third year in a row with more knee problems. How is each of their springs? What's the prognosis for those two guys, and can they stay healthy?
Can they stay healthy? Your guess is as good as mine. I think there's probably a better chance of Ryan Howard staying healthy because it's not like he's really had a history of injury problems. It was just that he tore the Achilles, and then he ended up getting a pretty serious infection in where the wound was, and they actually had to remove, you know, part of the muscle there, and it just him coming back just got pushed back and back and back, and finally when he did come back, he was just so far from full strength. And he's looked very good in spring training. You know, I think the question with Howard is less about his injury and more just about his production has decreased without injury over the last several years, as pitchers have started to figure him out and realize you just, you know, you don't throw him a fastball unless you have to. So I think Howard will be healthy, and I think he'll have a good year. I don't think we're ever going to see 50 home run, 150 RBI Ryan Howard ever again, but I think he'll be solid. Utley's look good as well. You know, the odds of him staying healthy, you know, I don't know. He's got degenerative conditions in his knees. And if there's anybody that can work hard enough to sort of even that out and make sure he stays on the field, then I would count on it being Utley. I think sort of the problem with Utley is actually sort of similar with Halliday, is that when Utley's playing, he's playing every game and he doesn't want to sit down. And he's sort of at the point in his career where, you know, if he would aim to play 130, 140 games mm-hmm. instead of aiming to play 160, he might be better off. But he aims to play 160, which I think gets him into trouble sometimes, which is why he wears down toward the end of the year. So who knows how many years he's got left in him, but he looks this year like he's certainly not having the problems he had last year. And he spent the offseason, I think, trying to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Also on the infield, Michael Young arrives from the Rangers in the American League, where he's primarily a DH. Phillies are asking him to man the hot corner for the first time since 2010. How's that been going? And should he struggle in the field, and if his back continues to show signs of decline, do you think Ruben Amaro considers making the future now for prize prospect Cody Ashe at third?
I don't think they're thinking about Ashe for this year. I think you'd see Freddie Galvis, depending on how the rest of the offense looks. You know, if they're not leaning on Young for that offense, you know, if Utley's playing well and Rollins and Dom Brown actually produces and the lineup looks solid, then maybe you think about Galvis or some sort of platoon. I don't think they were thinking about Ashe for this year unless, you know, the season ends up being a throwaway and they're not in contention. I think they'd like to, you know, learn from the lesson they saw with Don Brown and bringing a guy up too early when he's not quite ready and just leave him down in the minors for another year. Young has looked good. I was not one who was very confident in his ability to play third, and I think his history sort of shows that neither he nor his teams are particularly confident in his ability to play third. But that said, he's looked average at third base. So if, you know, if he's able to be average or even slightly below average, the production they've gotten out of third base has been so slim the last several years that if he can be better than that, and at least, you know, maybe close to average defensively, then I think it's a win. But I'm skeptical. I'll believe it when I see it. You know, I think a lot depends on him. I think the lineup can depend on him. So we'll see.
We're previewing the Philadelphia Phillies with Spike Eskin of CBSPhilly.com at Sports Radio 94 WIP on the WadeFord.com hotline here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You brought up Dominic Brown. I caught a few Braves-Phillies games this spring. I want to tell you, he looked like a beast.
Yeah, he hit the ball hard. I mean, and it wasn't just that he was getting extra base hits and hitting home runs. I mean, he was hitting them hard. You know, the good thing about that is that one thing he's always shown, even when he's struggled, is that he's a very patient hitter. And he'll take walks, and he'll get on base. And that's sort of something that they've missed ever since Jason Worth and Pat Burrell weren't there, were guys that can work counts, guys that just, you know, got on base. And even when he came up at the end of last year and, you know, the average was okay, it wasn't a lot of extra base hits. It wasn't a lot of home runs. This is the first spring where he's gone in with a real shot to win a position without an injury, you know. And I think everyone looked at this as sort of his last chance. And it is spring training, and, you know, you sort of have to take with a grain of salt because of the pitchers he's hitting. But that said, you'd much rather see him hit well in spring training than not well. And the other thing that people were worried about was his glove. And I wouldn't call him a good outfielder yet, but he certainly hasn't looked nearly as bad as he's looked in previous years. So if there's been a really bright sign out of spring training, it's definitely been Don Brown.
And that whole outfield is brand new. You get Ben Revere comes over from Minnesota in a trade. Can we expect to see him in the leadoff spot push Jimmy Rollins to the two-hole?
Yeah, I think from what Charlie Manuel said, you're going to see some of it. To be honest, I don't know that the move is to move Jimmy Rollins to two. I think if Charlie really wanted to, you know, shake things up a little bit, it's move Jimmy Rollins to three or move Jimmy Rollins to six. You know, I think having Rollins and Revere at one and two, no matter who's one and who's two,
right,
you know, I think you're sort of splitting hairs. But maybe it's just a you know, process of easing Rollins out of that leadoff spot. So I think you're going to see a lot of Ben Revere in the leadoff spot right away. And if it works, you'll see a lot more. If it doesn't work right away, you know, I sort of fear that there could be a little panic and revert back to what's comfortable, and then, you know, putting Rollins at the leadoff spot. But I think to start the year, we'll certainly see a healthy dose of Ben Revere in the leadoff spot.
Well, and wrapping up with Spike Eskin of CBSPhilly.com at Sports Radio 94 WIP on the WadeFord.com hotline. I'd say looking on the surface, certainly seems to be more questions than answers for this team as they enter the new season, and it's going to begin without Carlos Ruiz. He's going to sit out 25 games due to his suspension for testing positive for amphetamines last year. If the Phillies don't contend again, Spike, I mean, could Charlie Manuel be in trouble?
Oh, yeah, I think definitely. I think their offseason moves sort of point to them really wanting to see in this first half of the year whether this team has a run left in it. And I think if you get to the All-Star break or get to the trade deadline and they're not seriously really in the playoff hunt, I think not only does that sort of close the book on Manuel for next year and sort of indicate that Ryan Sandberg will be the manager, but I think you could see some of the more key players moved if there's a market out there for them and start sort of a, not a total rebuild, but the sort of rebuild that you saw the Red Sox go through where, you know, maybe you give up a key player just to get rid of a salary and sort of reassess where the organization is. So I think there's a strong possibility that Charlie Manuel is not the manager in 2014.
Wow. We certainly know that the natives can get restless there. The Fanatics are who they are, and that's what makes them so beloved, not really, around the rest of baseball. But
yeah. Saying that the natives could get, I think restless is about the most complimentary thing you can say about the natives around here, by getting your point across, but still being kind about it. So I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Kind enough to join us, Spike. Appreciate talking to you. And we'll keep up with you as the season goes on. And we'll see how things go to start the season with the Phillies and the Braves on Monday. Spike, thanks a lot for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.